Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on Nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at LexusofLexington.com. Did you know that half of America is single? Hollywood has never produced anything like this before. The Dating Project, a groundbreaking documentary that follows five single people, ages 18 to 40, as they search for authentic and meaningful relationships. There is no script. There are no actors. These are real people trying to find love and happiness in an age of swiping left or right. From Empower Pictures, Paulus Productions, Family Theater Productions, and PureFlix, you can now own The Dating Project. Save the date by visiting thedatingprojectmovie.com and go a step further and help others in your circle date differently by partnering with Ascension Press. Visit shop.ascensionpress.com to acquire the companion study guide. The Dating Project Movie is now available on DVD and digital download on Amazon, iTunes, and Walmart. Please visit thedatingprojectmovie.com for details.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, distributed through Breadbox Media, breadboxmedia.com, and recorded every Monday live on Facebook. Reconcile to you, / Allison Gingras. And today we're going to be looking at what I call crazy Catholic devotions. Just a few crazy Catholic devotions. I like Catholic devotions, and I didn't know anything about them until much, much, much later in my Catholic journey. Actually, in my revert journey, did I discover that Catholicism has these glorious, abundant, fun devotions. Like, I don't know. I grew up thinking being Catholic meant you went to church on Christmas and Easter, and that's about it. When you got old, when you got really old, then you would practice your faith because, you know, that way you were closer to death, and just in case this whole God thing was real, then you had a better chance of getting into heaven. You know, you had like your perfect attendance. Hi, Paula. Your perfect attendance for whenever, you know, the good Lord calls you home. So that was what I knew about the Catholic faith. And boy, has things changed in the last 10 years. Have they ever changed? So first I want to follow up with the glut. That's it. I'm the glut. How about the gut conversation that we were having last week? I did finally try the bone broth. What do you call that? Fast. So 3 days of a bone broth fast. First, let me tell you, bone broth is gross. It's not soup. It's not broth. It's too savory. My husband's like, that's not even like a thing. Like, it's either savory or sweet. It's too savory. It's just so, I don't know. It's like a textural thing, but what's the word? Like, I muscled it out. Like, I knew I needed to do this because I've read so much about how healthy it is and how much I want to heal, and I'm tired of being sick and I'm tired of feeling yucky. And then I pray and the Lord sends me answers and then I ignore them. How often do we do that? Like just as pause there for just a second. How often do we ask God for an answer and the one that he sends, we're like, yeah, that's not the one I wanted. Can we try this again? Like, rewind, Lord, you didn't get it right. So why don't we try this bad boy again? Like, how often do we do that? I do it all the time. Like, that like couldn't really be the answer to this prayer. God couldn't really be telling me that, right? But he is, and he was. So to pray and to pray earnestly for an answer, and then to be sent to this website all about glut health, leaky gut, which is so disgusting. Like, I don't even like the name of it. Anyway, so I decided to try the bone broth. It's supposed to be a 3-day fast and then elimination following that, but I did it, kinda. So I'm trying again this week, but this time I found one that's like chicken broth with butternut squash, and it's actually pretty good. It's bone broth, chicken bone broth, but it wasn't so bad. So here we go. Having a little kefir. Have you ever tried this? Kebir? No, FIR. Kefir. Kefir. That's it. Yeah, it's like fermented milk. Delish. Doesn't this sound wonderful? Don't you wish you had this too? But really, this is like all of the research I've done shows how healthy this is for us, how good this eating this is. For anybody with allergies or autoimmune or all kind, it was like all kinds of things that I just so happily was dealing with. Paula says I've made my own bone broth and it was tasty. Now see, this is the difference between us, Paula. Paula is this wonderful cook. I've never tasted your food. We really need to work on that. But I have seen your beautiful meals prepared, your big, beautiful Italian meals prepared, and they look fantastic. Me, not so much. I don't enjoy cooking. I'm average at it. I'm not horrible, but I think you're just really, people are good at what they enjoy, and what they don't enjoy, they're not so good at. I don't enjoy cooking. So I know that this can be done. I know you can take your own bones and make your own broth, but I really enjoy this place called Thrive Market. It's online, and I'm going to try out Whole Foods, see what I can find there, but kind of like sustaining myself right now on some yogurt and bone broth, and I actually do feel better. I've been taking the enzymes and the supplements and all of that, but I'm just really grateful that God answers my prayers. And he didn't answer in the way I wanted. I'm like, I wanted full healing, I wanted these hands to just instantly feel better and for my whole insides to just give me ice cream and cookies and let me feel better. But he's like, no, that's not how it works. Hi, Bernadette. It wasn't how it works at all. It was a lot of hard work and some sacrifice, and that's all very, very good for me. Like I have this thing about suffering. I don't like it. I try to avoid it at all costs. I don't know about you, but I try to avoid suffering. And the Lord tells us, like, if you want to follow me, pick up your cross. And in Luke's gospel, which I find really cute because Luke's a doctor, like that once a day kind of mentality, he says, pick up your cross daily, daily to follow Christ. And so I have to remind myself that my crosses are really quite light, this light and momentary affliction, as the scriptures say, my burdens are very light, and I sometimes make them very heavy, or I feel that they're very heavy. I add extra weight to them, but honestly, given all the things that could have been wrong, this one's not so bad. And as a germaphobe, not having to shake hands anymore, that's not a bad thing. I'm getting ready to go at the end of this month to the Catholic Marketing Network trade show, and the Catholic Writers Guild will be there at the same time. Get to meet a lot of people that I've worked with virtually for so many years in real life. And the only part that's going to be really awkward is that recoiling when people go to shake your hand. I don't know about you. I'm not a big fan of the sign of peace in mass. Never have been a germaphobe most of my life. So, again, very happy now I have an excuse. But this weekend I encountered something I've never really encountered before. Usually, if you just keep your hands to yourself and you just look people in the eye and say, peace be with you, people are really good about it. They don't really give you a hard time. Same mass, two different women in two different locations thrusted their hand at me after I kind of, kept them to myself. I had to say out loud, I'm sorry, I can't. Like, I was kind of embarrassed, but that's okay. Those moments are very good for my humility, always in need. Pride always in need of a little humility to keep me knee up and up. But I just thought that was interesting. I don't know. How do you feel about the sign of peace? Is this something you love about the mask? Do you wish they, you know, do you long for flu season when they get rid of it? Another great question. How do you feel about holding hands during the Our Father in Mass? You can probably guess where I am on that topic. Not a big fan of holding hands. It's not on the rubrics. Not supposed to put your hands up like this. Hands folded. This is for the priest and for the deacon. Our hands, actually the deacon is supposed to be the leader for the lay. So his hands should also be folded either like, you know, like that. I get it. Like, it's very sweet when people hold hands, and it's not like I look down on them. I'm like, oh, people who don't have germaphobes and want to hold hands. It's fine. It's all good. It's all good. But this has led to me to some very awkward liturgical moments in my life when people are trying to do good things, and I'm like, no, don't touch me, recoil. So anyway, hoping that we're going to continue on this. I'm journaling all of it. I'm really like looking at everything that God is teaching me, looking at the science of it. What am I allergic to? How am I allergic? Super funny story. So my friend got married this weekend. Congratulations, Lauren and CJ, both my friends. Very excited for them. Oh, uber awesome Catholic wedding. Then I went to the reception, and the funniest thing about the reception is that I sent in my, you know, what do you call it, RSVP for the wedding, and I didn't put any of my allergies down on the card. I'm like, you know what, she has enough to worry about. I'll just eat around them. I'll be fine. I don't want to add to her stress. So she's just the sweetest person ever. And she wrote to me, and she's like, hey, I know you have allergies. Why are you not writing them down here? So anyway, we talked. I'm like, we'll just make sure I don't get some soy and dairy, and we're good. I can enjoy the wedding. We'll have a happy time. And then, so it was a Caesar salad. Out comes my salad. It's a honeymoon salad, as my husband called. You know why it was a honeymoon salad? It was lettuce alone. So I had the perfect wedding salad with my lettuce alone. So funny. This just big heaping pile of romaine lettuce. It was good. I ate it. I'm no problem. Too funny. But back to the Our Father. I see you have some comments. Thanks, guys. So Paula says, I don't like to hold hands at the Our Father either. Oliver says, sign of peace is big in Ireland. Well, that's interesting, Oliver. Now, big in that you hold hands, big in that the whole church exchanges. I belong to the Emmaus community. It's a retreat community. Once you go on it, you then go to Galilee's afterwards, and it stays a community. And the sign of peace is, it's like an ordeal. It's very stressful for me. Because not only do I not like to hold hands, I'm also not much of a hugger. Not much. I don't mind it. Like, if people hug me, I don't recoil and not hug you back. But I'm not really going to go in for the big hug, and I'm really not much of a hugger. So this group is all about hugging, shaking hands, and the sign of peace goes on forever, and it's with everybody. And again, it's beautiful. And I love that they're just so thrilled to be with each other and, like, the love that comes from that. But again, germaphobe, not a hugger, not an emotional person. I love when the Lord just pushes me out of my comfort zone. He's really good at that. Cindy says, our deacons are good examples for our parish, hands folded throughout the Mass. Nice. Very nice. Oliver said, but when the flu break out, they stop it for a month. Yeah, we stopped for a couple of months. Favorite time of the year. It makes my daughter very upset, though. She loves the sign of peace. Loves it. And of course, she can give the sign of peace to, like, the entire church, because she will look around to see the people that she knows, and she'll sign peace be with you. And so she can do it to her dad up on the altar. She can, her brother used to be an altar server. She'd send him the sign of peace. She notices friends throughout the whole entire church, and she will, I'm signing at you. And she will, but she gets very upset when we stop the sign of the peace. She's like, where'd it go? I want it back. Well, mommy loves this. Mama don't want it back. Mama in no hurry. No hurry at all. Oh, goodness, Paula's reminding us that in the early church, it was the kiss of peace. Allison would have lost her mind. Talk about germ issues. Don't kiss me. I would have had to change churches. I would have wear a mask. I don't know what I would have done. I don't know what I would have done. It would have been pretty funny. Oh my goodness. I love our Catholic Church. I do. I love our mass. I love every piece about it, but the sign of peace. And even that, like, I get why we do it. You know, we can't come to the altar and receive until we make peace with our brothers. I get that. It's beautiful. Symbolism, beautiful. But if we could just do the wave of peace, the little wave, the little, you know, little peace sign in the air, maybe. Maybe we could teach the whole congregation sign language and we can all do sign of peace. We can all sign the sign of peace to each other and nobody has to touch. Great. Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to go for that. Unless we get a germaphobe pope like me, and then we're good. Then we'll definitely get a little wave of peace happening going on there. So I wanted to talk today about mostly about the consecration to Jesus, through Mary. We are doing it on Reconcile to You. It started January 13th, but God is outside of time. So if after listening to this, you want to jump in, and plus it runs all year long because it just needs to end on a Marian feast day. So there's days throughout the year that you can start it. I'm trying to find it in the book where you can start. So you can actually, July 20th is the next starting date, and that would end on the Queenship of Mary. How pretty is that? Or August 6th, you can end on the Nativity of Mary, which is her birthday, September 8th, August 10th. So there's a whole bunch of days coming up that you can start on if you missed our January 13th start date. But really, God is outside of time. So if you want to start now, you can catch right up. It's all that you just, if you go to Reconcile to You on Facebook, you just have to scroll through. I was hoping to get it on my website, reconciletoyou.com, but I just don't foresee that happening. But what perhaps I'll do is in a later date, probably for Our Lady of Guadalupe, who I adore, I'll probably repost all of this on the Facebook, from Facebook that we're going to do now as easy for me to say. As Facebook posts. Right now I just have so much going on. I have the wine book club going on, and we're doing a friendship project. It's the first time we've done this book, so it's creating a lot of content for that. And really just trying to do the consecration myself, trying to be focused and kind of in the moment with the consecration. So November 5th would be the next one that we would start to end on December 8th, which happens to also be my son's birthday. But Our Lady of Guadalupe, no, try that again, Allison. That would be the Immaculate Conception. Goodness gracious. We'd start on November 9th for the December 12th ending on Our Lady of Guadalupe. Some days my brain just put a little asterisk there for 2018. November 9th will be the second one. But right now we're in the middle of one. We've just started. Actually, not in the middle. We're on day four. Welcome, Nita. Anita said, I wouldn't have done the kiss of peace. Not my thing. I may be Portuguese, but yeah, the Portuguese are kind of known for their big, European huggy kisses of greetings, and I'm Portuguese as well, but apparently I also missed that gene somewhere, just didn't get it. So in 2013, we were very blessed in our parish to have a young man named Matthew Gill, now Father Matthew Gill, come to spend the summer with us. He had a very strong Marian devotion. And that means he just loved our Blessed Mother. He prayed the rosary regularly. He turned to her in prayer. And that's not something I've really done. Having mother issues, that's the best way I could put it, most of my life, kind of come to grips with most of them. But just not ever seeing how we would come to Mary, why I would go to Mary. I saw her as supernatural. I didn't realize that she was human, 100% just like me. I just never thought of Nita, we are ending on the Assumption this time, but I was talking about the next one I'm going to do after this, and we would end on the Immaculate, not on the Immaculate Conception, now on Our Lady of Guadalupe. Immaculate Conception is my son's baptism anniversary. Oh, how funny. Those are all very So I didn't, and I didn't even celebrate these dates growing up, by the way. I didn't even know we had Marian feast days. I had no clue. My parents never went to church on days of obligation. We went pretty much literally, I'm not even kidding, Christmas and Easter. During times that we were in religious education, we would go, during the time that CCD was in session, but then we took summers off. I don't remember ever going as a whole family. I remember going with my mom a lot and my brother and my baby sister. My brother and I were the ones who'd get into tons of trouble in church. We had to be separated all the time. I would sleep. I'm the worst trouble I ever got in my entire life, and this is in my new book, Stay Connected, The Gift of Invitation. One of the worst punishments of my life was my brother and I. My mother actually let us sit next to each other. Mistake number one. And they were doing the prayer of the faithful, and they got to who the mass was being offered for, and the woman's name was Mary Perry. And for some reason, that just struck my brother and I as the funniest name ever. Our last name, my maiden name, is Perry, but for some reason, Mary Perry and the way the priest pronounced it just sent the two of us into giggle fits. Have you ever had a giggle fit in church? It's not okay. I've had them as adults, and you're like biting your tongue trying to pull it together. There's times like I can't even look at my husband, and I know I'm gonna like fall into a giggle fit. You're biting your tongue trying not to laugh. But when you're like 12, you or 10, 10 or 12, I was somewhere in there. I didn't care. I could not control myself. Full body laugh, tears. My mother was furious, rightfully so. So that was probably. But we only went those couple of days. Like the only memory I have is getting in trouble. And I remember my dad, we used to go to Christmas Mass because we'd open a present on Christmas Eve. And I remember sitting with the present I had picked, and it was in this like distinct box that I knew it was the Barbie head that used to be able to put curlers and makeup on. I knew that's what it was. And so I remember sitting with my arms, the death grip around it, on the steps, waiting for my father to come home from church so I could open the gift. But I don't really remember us going as a family. I'm positive that we never celebrated any of the Marian feast day. We never went to the Assumption, Immaculate Conception, birthday. I don't know any of that stuff about her, anything. So she was pretty much just this like figure that gave birth to Jesus, and she would be like in the nativity, but she didn't have a part in my heart at all. And I was slowly kind of, as I got more interested in my Catholic faith, which really just started in 2005, 2006, really just started the reversion back then. This young man came to our parish and he said, for the summer for 2013, I'm going to lead us all in this consecration, 33 days to Morning Glory, a do-it-yourself retreat in preparation of Marian consecration by Father Michael Gately. And I said, okay, I'll give this a whirl. I had tried a few times with the Louis de Montfort books, the original ones, but that's just a lot of prayers, and I have ADHD so bad. So I'm really not good at rote prayers that you just read. I mean, they're beautiful and I liked them the first time I read them. I'm even okay for about 10, if so, of those days of the 33 days, but then I'll fall off real quickly. So I said, all right, I'm gonna try this new book. Wow, it is so good. It is so remarkable. He really spoke to my heart in it. He broke it down. He showed us not just, Paula's agreeing with me, the 33 days is awesome, not just St. Louis de Montfort's consecration, who started this whole beautiful devotion to Our Lady. And really, when we talk about a devotion to Our Lady, I think the most important thing to understand is that we're not devoting or vowing ourselves to her. We are giving ourselves to Jesus through her. And as a mom, I can tell you that not a single person in this world knows my boys as well as I do. I mean, eventually, perhaps their wives might know them, but there's still parts of them that I will always know that nobody else will know. I will know their childhood memories. I'll know the things that they went through growing up, like those critical moments of their lives, that was me. And I'm very blessed to have been there, and nobody will know that. Like I will. So we think about our Blessed Mother being Jesus' mother. So nobody knows Mary better knows Mary. Nobody knows Jesus better than Mary. So this is one of the reasons we go to her to get closer to him. And there is, I wish I could remember who said this. It's so beautiful. It might have even been Maximilian Kolbe. It talks about how the moon reflects the sun. And so Mary is this big giant moon in our life who she's there and she's circling around us and she's watching over us, but she reflects the only light she has no light of her own. The only light she has is what she takes from the sun. Make sense? I hope so. I think it's beautiful. I really should figure out where I got that little bit of information from. I'm going to put a little note here. Moon reflect sun. It's just so beautiful. And I love it, you know, just the play on words with sun, S-U-N and S-O-N. Love that stuff. I love that stuff. So this week, we began with St. Louis de Montfort section, began on Friday. So we're just easing into this. And we talked a little bit about who St. Louis was and that he was from Brittany, France, and that he had a real passion, a real fiery side. He has a bad temper, which I can kind of relate to, but that he would channel his fieriness, his fuel, his passion and ferocity, as Father Michael Gately puts it, towards bringing Christ to others, and bringing to this Marian devotion, to getting close to our Blessed Mother, so he could get closer to Christ. Oliver is sharing that as a lay Carmelite, I find it very interesting. Brain's not working. I was just thinking about 10 things at once and they're all trying to get out and there's like a log jam. It's just not like there's too much going here and it's not coming out there. But I know for a fact it was Pope St. John Paul II who called the rosary the school of Mary. And I think going to the school of Mary is a wonderful way to get to know her son. I can't think of a better way to get to know Jesus than to go to the school of Mary and let her teach us everything we could know about him, and how not just know about him, but how we can imitate him. And I believe it's in here somewhere that Father Michael, I'm just going to make up a new name. So Father Michael Gately is now Father Michael. And you're welcome, Father Michael. I'm just going to give you some new names. But how she raised Jesus, like she was the one, his mother, who raised him up. So she can also do the same for us. Like we go to her, so she raises us. And there's like the whole play on words there. I love words, as you can tell. And like the whole play there is she raises us, in our maturity as Christians, but she also lifts us to her son, right? Raise us up. I don't know if anybody else has Josh Groban going through their head right now, but you raise me up. Yeah, that's totally stuck in my head right now. And earworm, you're welcome. I won't sing it. I won't even try to do my Josh Groban today. Again, you're welcome and you owe me. So we talked about who Louis de Montfort was, his influence on the church, the popes. You know, some people have, a lot of the questions have come in have been, why do I want to do this? And I did share a video from Father Michael Gately who answers that himself in a beautiful way. So if you haven't already been to the Facebook page and looked up, Father Michael Gately, who's at Steubenville, one of the Steubenville conferences, Franciscan, University Steubenville Conference. If you want to Google it, if you're not on Facebook, you want to find that video. Or you can always, anytime I mention anything and you want more information about it, if I mention a link or a book or anything, please just email me. I am so happy to give you that information. Any help I can give you in striving in your faith life is just a real joy to me. So where am I? Oh, I crack myself up. As long as I'm happy, right? reconciletoyou@gmail.com. reconciletoyou@gmail.com. Or you can always just go to reconciletoyou.com and you can find me there or on Facebook, right? Nita is saying, about to play the instrumental for my kids as they sleep. Oh, well, you're welcome. That's pretty fun. That's a good way to get kids to sleep. Give them a little raise you up like that. Great idea. So we talked about, so it was the why. So why would I want to do this? And he talks about that. So I'm not going to go too far into it. But one of the things that inspired me were all the popes. Father Michael lists 6 popes that not only encouraged and supported this, but actually did it themselves. John Paul II did his consecration. Who else was, oh, this is a really simple, sorry. Oops. Yes, that would be my phone, and that would be me hanging up on somebody. Way to go. So funny. Pope Pius XI simply stated, I have practiced this devotion ever since my youth. So that was, I mean, the popes are going to do it. Why? And the other thing I know that is, there's a lot of misinformation. There's a big misnomer around this devotion, is that people believe that it comes with this promise to do this really tough stuff. Like you're saying, oh, well, I'll do this. And then every day I have to pray the rosary, and I have to wear the scapula, and I think sometimes we get too legalistic, way too legalistic in our understanding of the devotions and what God calls us to. What he wants is our time and our attention, and he wants us praying. He wants us in spiritual reading, prayer, sacrament, and scripture, right? The grace trifecta. He wants us delving, hi, Anna. He wants us delving into the grace that he has for us. And these devotions are just another way for us to delve into that grace, to dig deeper into that grace. And it's okay if we don't do it perfectly. We're not called to do anything perfectly because we're not perfect. We're flawed human beings. And God's just asking us to do the best that we can do. And so if you're somebody who can do the rosary every day, awesome. It is a beautiful prayer. Again, it's the School of Mary. How could it be a bad prayer? I try to do it as often as I can. Some weeks it's 6 days. Some weeks it's 2 days. Hi, Barb. I don't get to it all the time. And I don't think that makes me a bad Catholic. I think I'm a pretty faithful girl, regardless of how good or bad I am at the devotions. But I love that it gives me the discipline of reading and learning and praying and just growing closer to Christ. So the devotion is there to give us a vehicle to get closer to God. And we can't do that wrong. You can't do Mass wrong. You can't pray wrong. You can't spend time in Scripture wrong. Thanks for the hand clap, Barb. That's awesome. It really can't. And it's so frustrating to me to see so many people throw out the entire faith because they have misunderstood what is expected of us in it. It is a gorgeous, beautiful, deeply traditional faith. That all God asks is that we try, and he gives us everything we need to do it. I mean, the Mass alone is the perfect prayer. We have sacrament, prayer, and scripture all in one little 1 hour dose, and it's beautiful. And yeah, so sometimes we don't like the music, and sometimes we don't like the preaching, and sometimes we don't, it's too hot in there, or it's too far away, or the parking lot's too hard to navigate. Who cares? All of that is inconsequential. Because it's about God. It's about worshiping him. It's about coming to worship him and let him teach us, love on us, shower his mercy upon us. And you know, when you leave, all those things that you worried about, if you focus on him during the moment of the Mass or in the consecration, if you just quiet your heart and give him your attention, none of that stuff's going to matter. I guarantee you, none of the other stuff is going to matter. And if those are problems for you, find a church with air conditioning, you know, find one that's closer. I don't believe in church shopping, but I've done it. Because if you're having a hard time getting closer to God, then it makes me think of Don Bosco when he used to talk about the dream where he had with the boys with the the good and the bad angels on their shoulders. And, you know, you have to flick off that bad angel and focus. Like, they're there to keep you distracted. And all of those little nitty gritty things, those are things that, you know, that the enemy puts to distract us. So if you need to eradicate what distracts you, do it. Go for it. You know, find the place that you can worship God fully, totally, and completely. And keep looking until you find the place. It's that important. Anna's saying that she felt so much peace at Mass yesterday. It was beautiful. We ended up at a different church, but the same church. It was so beautiful. We're very blessed in our diocese to have many, many gifted priests and preachers, but always, regardless of how gifted they are, Mother Angelica used to say, no matter how bad they are, just ask God to give you a word and you're good to go. I may have just, you know, given you the Alice in a Bridge version of what Mother Angelica said, but I've always done that. Lord, like you get to church, kneel, like, Lord, teach me something today. Put on my heart, like, what it is you want me to know. And I guarantee you won't leave disappointed. You won't ever leave disappointed. And that's how I feel about my prayer time, my scripture time, my praise and worship time. Got to do some good old praise and worship time. If you haven't done that yet, get yourself in the car or when everyone leaves the house, put on some praise and worship music and just sing to the top of your lungs. Raise your hands to Jesus and just to God and just give him all the glory and praise. Nothing takes away a bad mood like praise and worship, just praising his holy name. And some people can just do praise. Sometimes I'll take a litany of his names and I'll praise with that. But I really find just, you know, throwing on some good old fashioned Christian music and just woo, raising the roof. That is a wonderful way. So those are all crazy Catholic devotions that we have that you can take advantage of, that you can use to grow closer to God. He is going to teach you and reach in your heart exactly the way you have been created to be reached, and to know, to believe and to know that he's created you to seek him, to find him, to know, what is it? Oh, the Baltimore Catechism just went out of my head. Someone must know it. Put it on here for me. To know him, love him, and serve him in this world and the next. I think I might have it. I may be on to that one. But he doesn't make it impossible. He doesn't say, you know what? I'm going to create all these people, and I want them to come and live with me in heaven forever when they die, but I'm going to make this so hard, and I'm not going to give them any idea or any clue or any help at all on how to get here. How many of you think that's really how he does that? I used to think so. I used to think he was mean, and he made it impossible, and only nuns and priests could get to heaven, and I wasn't going to be one of them. I was wrong. I was so gratefully so wrong. Barb said she heard that yesterday at Mass. Oh, that's so cool. Affirmation time. Godsidence. There are no coincidences when you have the eyes of God. They're all Godsidences. I love Godsidences. So all the different devotions. I mean, we can spend, and I hope we're going to revisit this several times here on the Seeking Heart. Several times come back and address these different devotions. I just ordered the Sacred Heart Enthronement. Emily Geminit was on CatholicMom.com on Thursday, and she was talking all about the enthronement to your home to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And there's a little kit, an enthronement kit, which I will get the link up here. And it was, let's make a little note not to forget to send the inlet. You know, again, if I ever say I'm going to do something and I don't, but I want to talk about that when it comes in, because I know that's a very powerful devotion. Big fan of Novena. Me too. The Saint Anne Novena starts in a couple of days. I'm going to be praying for lots and lots of my single gals. Calling all the single girls, send me your prayer requests and I'll pray for you during the Saint Anne Novena. Cindy, hi Cindy. Didn't mean to skip over your comment. Let's just skip the raising your hands to Jesus when driving. Just saying, that's probably not very safe. I kind of just lift one. I'm so glad that we now live in a technology age where there's Bluetooth and hands-free, because I used to be the one driving. It starts tomorrow. Thanks, Anna. You would probably know that one. That's a feast day for you. So You know, I'd be driving and I would be singing away and I'd be just like crazy in the car and people would be like, what is she doing? But now I can talk all I want. I can talk to myself. I can sing to myself because there's this age of this technology we live in, but really it's bad mood. Just get your praise on. All melts away. Cause how can you be sad praising God? You just can't. You just can't. We're going to be just continuing for the next 30 or 29 days, 33 days to Morning Glory. And I saw this just came in the mail to me, Mary, Mother of Apostles, How to Live Marian Devotion to Proclaim Christ. It just came in the mail from Pauline Books and Media. So I'm going to I'd hoped to crack this puppy open before the show, but it didn't happen. So I'm definitely going to be looking through this and sharing my notes and my thoughts on it on Reconciled to You in the next few days. Cindy says, why did God make you? Thank you. You looked it up about the Baltimore Catechism back in the day. It was after my day, but I still really loved this answer so much that I usually have it memorized. God made me to know Him, to love Him, and to serve Him in this world, and to be happy with Him forever in heaven. That's the part I missed. To be happy with Him forever in heaven. And Nita added, by the end of man, we mean the purpose for which we are created, namely to love, know, and to serve God. Those are both right. So we are made to love, know, and serve God. One of my favorite scripture verses comes from 1 John. It's, I've come to know and to rely on the love that God has for us. Isn't that beautiful? I've come to know and to rely on the love that God has for us. Barb, you should do some book snaps on this. What's a book snap? Oh, okay. Wait, I got to make a note and I will look on that after the show. I do not know what a book snap is. What? Hashtag social media fail. This is my job is social media. It helps to share a message of the book in a fun way. Oh, I'm totally going to look into that. Thanks, Barb. You are the bomb. I'm so excited. Hello. Have some words. Yes, Cindy found it, but you also, they're both right. So thank you, Nita, for looking that up. Thank you, Cindy, for helping me. I will definitely check out your Facebook feed. That's fun. Oh, I have so many book reviews. I have piles and piles and piles of books, as you can see. They're so good, and I want to get to all of them. And I actually miss the old way I used to do with Seeking Heart, which was I did a book a week. So in 1 year, I would do at least 52 books. And I kind of I read that much because I really feel very, very strongly in the power of spiritual reading and growing our own spirituality. It's how I came back to the faith. I was so far away, and I was invited to a Bible study, a book club. And we just started reading book after book after book. And for me, who can so easily get distracted by TV, by naps, by Facebook, by social media, I'm just so easily distracted that having a book that kind of helps me focus my thoughts and kind of gives a framework and a foundation to my spiritual thoughts, it just works really well for me to grow in faith. And I don't think I'm the only one that's like that. There's got to be a reason that there's so much spiritual reading and that the Lord has given us this great gift of spiritual reading and spiritual writers. We have the church fathers. There's got to be, I mean, really the way He teaches us is through the Bible, through spiritual reading. So I think there's a little something to that. I don't know. Call me crazy. I'm going to guess. I'm onto something. So to be able to share more of these wonderful books, there's so many great ones out there. And continue to pray for the Stay Connected series. We are this close. I just did my first round of edits from the copy editor. My book is called Gift of Invitation, 7 Ways the Lord Jesus Brings Grace into Your Life, I think. I really need to work on the title. You know, it's still a working title. But basically, it is 7 invitations from Christ and all from the scriptures of how He invites us in to know and love Him better. And I'm really excited. I cannot wait to share that with you. So they're going to be, we're going to be doing a pre-order of them very soon. Keep your eye out for that. And the launch is October 1st. as the feast day of Saint Therese of Lisieux, I can't think of a better day for these books to come out. Be my book and two others on spiritual classics, talk about spiritual reading, from Tiffany Walsh, and the others, the Fruits of the Holy Spirit from Diana Bartolini. And they're wonderful. That those two women are wonderful. The books they have written are wonderful. And we cannot wait from Grace Watch Media to share with you. Stay connected. So please keep that in your prayers as we get closer and closer to rolling it out. Barb said, amen, sister, we must be sisters from, I think we are. I really think we are. And I'm so sad that you're not coming to the conference. I can't wait to meet you someday. I have this long list of my bucket list of people I want to meet someday. And you're on it. Definitely. Anna says, the Kindle keeps me away from TV now. That's wonderful. Anna, you know it, and the Kindle, I have purposely, well, I lied. I tried not to, I don't have any social media on my Kindle, but I did put two games, and I do kind of fall into those once in a while, but it's harder to do than like on my phone if I had games and stuff. It's just exciting. This is just an exciting time for our church. It's an exciting time to be Catholic. It's an exciting time to be evangelizing and sharing your faith. There's more and more materials available. And, you know, just to wrap up talking about this devotion, the total consecration to Jesus through Mary, when I finally did it in 2013, I kind of noticed my faith take on a new flavor. My faith take on a new strength and focus. And then little by little, every time that I've done it, every time that I've reconsecrated myself, something else, God has revealed something else or strengthened me in another way, in a new virtue. But the coolest thing I have to say was the last time I did it, this last summer, I convinced Father Matt to, he's in Deacon Matt and preparing his last year for the seminary. And we had done this one together back in 2013. And Father Ed Broom came out with a consecration to Jesus, same formula, but using the rosary. And it was amazing. Again, I'll put that link in there as well. And I convinced him to do it with me by sending him a book. It worked for me. Like, I came into my faith through somebody giving me a book and me feeling like this obligation. So I figured I could get him to do the same. And I did. And also made my friend Karen Toss do it with me as well. And at that time, we were really still kind of trying to dig out of some really hard financial times. I was still trying to decide where God wanted me. I wanted to be in ministry and I felt really called here. But financially, my husband's like, this isn't working. This isn't working. You should really, you really need to get a job. And my hands, so interesting. Like, we think that things are happening for one reason, but God has a million reasons for doing stuff and how he really just knits our whole life together. But so my hands were really bad, like worse than they'd ever been. And they were huge and I couldn't do anything with them. And I said to my husband, well, here's the problem. Presently, right now, I can't go back to childcare, which I used to do. I can't go into retail. I can't work with money. Who wants me touch? I mean, with food, who wants me touching their food? I used to be a paralegal. I have to go back and relearn everything because I've been away from it and the laws have changed. So right now, all I can do is work from my computer and write. And, you know, I was trying to get this book deal together. I'm like, let's just keep praying and hoping. And I was doing the consecration to Jesus through Mary. And I just asked during the consecration, I have none, really. Every day, Blessed Mother, I just want a job doing social media for your son. Please let me use all that I've learned for the good of the kingdom. Like, I'm doing it now, but for free. Like, please just give me just a little job, part-time job. And I had a certain amount of money that I needed to make. The day I finished my consecration, the day, I was offered a job from Kennedy Brown Regroup, a Catholic marketing company doing social media for God, pretty much. And our Blessed Mother's really generous. I was offered twice what I'd given our Blessed Mother that I needed to make to help my family. And I'm not saying that, like, you know, you got to do this consecration and suddenly it's like winning the lottery, like, you know, mama needs a new pair of shoes. Let me pray another rosary. It's easy to fall into that. Like for me, especially, it's easy for me to think if I do everything God says, if I pray this the right way, if I am a good girl, then I'm going to get everything I prayed for. And I can tell you over the last 10 years, that has not happened. God's always given us what we've needed. He has always given us hope and peace. And in this way, in this time, our Blessed Mother really, really came through. And I don't know if it was, I won't know this side of heaven why I was given such a great gift, but not only did I land one job doing social media for our Lord, but over the next few months after that, I now have three. I have three clients. And it's such a blessing that I get to stay here and continue God's work, because there are so many people who need to hear this message. And for me to think somebody else can do it, it's true. There's lots of people doing it, and they're doing it so well. And I can even get discouraged and think, well, how many people really listen, or how many people care what I have to say? But it doesn't matter, because Jesus would have left the 99 for that one sheep. And even if I just spent this time talking to myself, which I don't, because you're all so gracious to show up and to listen later, a Seeking Heart podcast. But to know that this is the Lord's work, and our time here is about getting to know Him, growing closer to Him, and not keeping it to ourselves. Because think about how your life has been changed and how you have been blessed because you know Christ. That's why we do these crazy devotionals. They give us a foundation. They give us a framework. They give us something to share with other people. We have a way of sharing our faith. You know, someone was sharing in the Wine Book Club that they don't share their faith because they don't feel like they know enough. They don't know what words to say. Honestly, the best and only way to share your faith is to share what Jesus has done for you. Share Jesus in your life, what that consecration did for me, and how, you know, doing these prayers and spending time with Christ every day, it just built our relationship. I got to know Him better. And then I felt confident to ask for what I really needed and what I really wanted. I wanted just some way that I could stay in ministry. And I felt what I had to offer to the kingdom was social media. And the Lord, luckily and happily for me, agreed. Yay! And I was able to do that. I'm able to do that. Every day I get to share how awesome God is through social media and through the technology of our time. I think of St. Paul. St. Paul totally would have been on Twitter. He would have been doing Facebook Lives every day. He would have been using all means necessary to bring Christ to the world. So I guess I'm going to leave you with thinking, what crazy Catholic devotional do you need to embrace or look into or maybe consider during the 33 days? Now, I've made it very clear, it's a journey of discernment. You don't have to end in the 33 days and make any promises or any vows. You just spend time contemplating God with us. That's all God asks. Just spend time contemplating Him. Where then, once you learn what God has for you and once you start to see Him reveal Himself in your life, where can you take that story to bring Him to others? Where can you be like the woman in the well who had an encounter with Christ? And He changed her life forever. And she went out and she couldn't hold it. So she had to tell people. And the best part of that whole encounter with the woman at the well is that at the end, the people say to her, "We don't believe now because of what you've told us. We believe because what we have seen God do, what we've seen Christ do in our own life." And that, you couldn't ask for anything more than that. To use your time to learn, to grow, to be overwhelmed by the beauty of the Lord in your life, and then to take Him forward to others. Amen? Amen. I'm going to give you some more praise and worship. Leaving 99. Is that audio adrenaline? Maybe? Kind of dipping back into my my early 200s. Yeah, I'm that old. Oh, spending more time in stillness, Elizabeth. That's really hard, but it's really important. And start in small increments. Don't say, okay, today I'm going to spend an hour in prayer. Say, today I'm going to give you 5 minutes, Jesus. Pick one way. Read a page in a book. Read a scripture. Listen to one song. Give God 5 minutes. You just take it from there. He'll do the rest. He's going to be so excited to have your attention. Just think about if you're a parent of a young adult child, you get this. You're so happy when your kids give you 5 seconds. I drop everything when my 19 and 22-year-old sons come in and sit down to talk with me. I don't care if it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't care what I'm in the middle of. Everything gets dropped because I'm so thrilled that in their busy life and in the things that they have to accomplish and do, that they've remembered me and they've come spent time with me. And I'm very grateful that you've come and spent some time today here on A Seeking Heart with Alison Gingras, that distributes over on Breadbox Media, but we do it live here on Reconcile to You on Facebook every Monday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. One of my favorite parts of the entire week. I will someday have to go to the Abbey Faith and Music Festival. Is that in Pennsylvania, Cindy? I've been to Soul Fest. I've been to Creation Fest. And those are amazing experiences. I'll have to check out the Abbey Faith and Music Festival. It sounds good. And you sent the link, so I can. Wonderful. Let's close with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear good and gracious God, we thank you so much for all the gifts that you've given us. The gift of your mother, our mother, the Blessed Mother, to school us, to raise us, to teach us, and so that we too, we may imitate Christ and we may find our way to heaven someday. Lord, we thank you for all of the wonderful scriptures and spiritual readings that you give us, the devotions. We ask you to join to send your grace upon each and every one of us who are trying during these 33 days to grow closer to you through this devotion, through this Marian devotion. Lord, we just ask you every day for your grace and blessings upon our journeys here. I believe, we believe with our whole hearts, we are not put here alone, that you never abandon nor forsake us, that you guide us, and that you do have a perfect and wonderful plan for us. Help us to find the stillness that we need every day to hear that plan and the grace to see it through. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. And again, thank you for listening to A Seeking Heart with Alison Gingras, distributed through Breadbox Media. God bless.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.